our friend. All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. J.D. Wool is on. Robin Aroni is on. Jeannie Malfizi is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. P. Suss is on. Todd Suff is on. Mike Griffith is on. Bud Dave is on. Judy Anita is on. Goozy 600 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. J.D. Joy is on. Let's see here. D9597 is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Volvo 960 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Michelle Tall is on. Let's see here. TJT1 is on. K4VMS is on. All right. Spaz 64 is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Gritterden is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Wade Away is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Becklin 60 is on. DK Jackson is on. Sexy Pony's on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Black Horse is on. B Haven is on. Boy 7 Howdy is on. Let me see here. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Let's see. Prayer Works 2 is on. All right. Key Lime 13 is on. Producer Aaron is on. Motorcycle is on. Scrolling down. Let me see here. Anybody I missed so far? Peg McGroin is on. Let me see. Just about everybody scrolling down to the bottom. All right. That's good. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right into Donald Trump. Donald Trump, True Social Post on the European Union and tariffs, European Union, which was formed for the primary purpose of taking away the United States, for taking advantage of the United States on trade, has been very difficult to deal with. And everyone knows everybody knows what's been going on with the European Union for many, many years here. The precipice of which all these tariffs are being launched is that we're paying anywhere between 20 and 100% tariffs on all of our items going into the European Union, and they pay very low tariffs with their items coming into the United States of America. And Donald Trump is trying to even that out. They're powerful trade barriers, VAT taxes, ridiculous corporate penalties, non-monetary trade barriers, monetary manipulations, unfair and unjustified lawsuits against American companies, and more have led to a trade deficit with the United States of a little bit more than $250 million a year. A number which is totally unacceptable. Our discussions with them are going nowhere. I love Trump, how straightforward he is. Therefore, I am recommending, remember, this is the unelected European Union run by Ursula von der Leyen. Therefore, I am recommending a straight 50% tariff on the European Union starting on, and by the way, remember, that is a reciprocal tariff. Now, what you're going to see as a response and what you have already seen as a response to this True Social Post, just leave this up for me, guys. Is the leftist coming out, leftist globalist bourgeois elitist Goebbels media comes out and saying, oh, the awful tariffs. But there's never been a commentary. There's never been so much as a comment, let alone a commentary on the evil tariffs put upon us. Imagine being that level of a Benedict Arnold, Mike Pence traitor, where the only tariffs that you consider to be evil are the ones that your country imposes, but not those that are imposed on your own country. That's what it means to be a Democrat. That's what it means to be a member of the Goebbels media in 2025. Our discussions with them are going nowhere. Therefore, I am recommending a straight 50% tariff on the European Union starting on June 1st, 2025. There is no tariff if the product is built or manufactured in the United States. Therefore, thank you for your attention to this matter. That's exactly what needs to happen. And again, I will never understand the argument of evil tariffs unless they're evil across the board. But again, these are the people that don't consider racism against white people to be evil, but it's only racism against black people that's evil. Or racism against Hispanic people is evil, but not racism against white people. If you want to butcher Afrikaners in Africa, perfectly fine, which are not the people who ushered in apartheid, which would still not justify any sort of genocide. But these are Mennonites, for all intents and purposes, Dutch farmers from the Netherlands. And that sort of racism is absolutely fine. All the racism that you see where you can hear Barack Obama say, a white man's greed puts the world in need. Ayanna Presley, Rashida Tlaib, AOC. She didn't get elected. Corey Bush, her racism. Jasmine Crockett, her racism. Jasmine Crockett's one racist trope after another. No problem whatsoever. So tariffs are bad if the United States issues them, but not if they're issued against the United States. How does that not make you a treasonous traitor? At least in your heart, although not legally. So here's the thing. Donald Trump is doing the right things. And again, I'm not going to, I lambasted the BBB last night, the big, beautiful bill. And by the way, I've not changed on it at all. That doesn't mean there aren't good things in it. As I said last night, there are good things on it. I am very disappointed, though, I will be honest with you, about how many Republicans just lock, stock, and barrel agree with the BBB, the big, beautiful bill. I mean, just because Donald Trump does it, that doesn't mean you have to agree with it. That makes you no different than a Democratic Party acolyte. They do the same thing. It's just like whenever you hear a Democrat, they always have to come out and say, just like we hear the interview with Elon Musk, how often do you talk with Putin? That's what you have to say as a leftist. We don't want to be robotic like that. We don't want to be acolytes. We don't want to be stenographers. So there's great aspects to the big, beautiful bill, you know, hiring at the border, but we still don't have the money. You still, even if it's conservative things, which by the way, a lot of it's not, a lot of it is still funding Democratic Party institutions and NGOs. You know, they just found out today or yesterday, 93, and this is separate. I actually thought it was the same thing, but it's separate because this went into the Department of Education. This is $93 billion worth of quote unquote loans. You might be thinking, no, that's the same as the other story. No, that was $73 from the federal loan department. That's different. They're two different things. And I don't know if I got the name right on that. It's something loan department with the Fed or loan agency with the Fed. Not the Fed, with the federal government. But anyway, that was $73 million that was sent out to, that was Podesta, and which he gave some to Stacey Abrams, $2 billion. That has been untraceable. Nobody has any idea where it went. That was, you had the federal, I'm just going to call it that for the sake of discussion right now. You had the federal loan department for the prior, I believe it's either the full life of the agency or the prior 15 years, had loaned out like low double digit billion dollars, something like maybe $10, $15 billion. And then there were 73 days between when Donald Trump got elected and when he took office. And so for the first, let's just say 15, 20 or 30 years of the federal loan department, they loaned out $10 to $15 billion. In the 73 days between when Joe Biden lost the election to when Donald Trump took office on January 20th, 2020 of 2025, they loaned out $73 billion. Prior life of the agency, $10 to $15 billion. In 73 days, $73 billion. And now it turns out that the Department of Energy did the same thing with an additional $93 billion into the wind, an untraceable. Aaron, explain to me how anything's an untraceable loan. Anybody here have a mortgage?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think that's an untraceable loan? How is it that you and I have very traceable loans? Whenever we've taken loans for cars or houses, it's a very traceable loan. But when the government loans $93 billion, they don't even know where the money's parked. Nobody has any idea. Can you imagine this is what we, and again, this is my beef with the BBB. We cannot continue this sort of funding, which this bill does continue that level of funding. Yes, great things are funded. Yes, there's some measures of accountability. Yes, we're hiring more CBP agents and more, ICE agents. That's great. I mean, that really is great. But you cannot hire people when you have no money. It's still being printed. We have got to be conservatives. When you're conservatives and you want something you cannot afford, what do? You don't buy it. It's as simple as that. Otherwise, you end up with this. Peter St. Ange video. This is a warning because we are exactly 10. I mean, look at me now. Exactly 10 years behind Japan. Exactly 10 years behind Japan. So where is Japan today? I'm talking about economically. We are 10 years behind Japan. Exactly 10 years behind them. That is in relevant statistical data. Per capita, because obviously we're a much larger economy, but if you take it on a per capita basis, we're 10 years behind Japan. And where is Japan today? Play for me, guys.
Japan's bond markets are, quote, imploding as Japan's prime minister calls the situation, quote, worse than Greece. As in the Greece that defaulted on three-quarters of its national debt in 2012. Will Japan be replacing Argentina as the poster child of the IMF? For decades now, Japan has been teetering on the edge of a fiscal cliff, with government debt hitting 263% of GDP. In U.S. terms, that's a $65 trillion debt. Now, that's way past the traditional red line of 100% of GDP. In fact, it's almost double Greece's debt to GDP back in 2012. This has only been sustainable because the vast majority of Japanese government debt is held by the Japanese people, who have a very strong bias for domestic assets and park it in banks and life insurers. That's in contrast to Greece, where 8 in 10 owners were footloose foreigners who dump at the first sign of trouble. Now, it helps that the central bank, the Bank of Japan, has bought a majority of government debt. In the U.S., it's under one-fifth. Still, the sheer scale of Japan's debt has been a sword of Damocles over markets. It's a big reason the Bank of Japan moves so slow and so late, for fear of upsetting the delicate balance. Well, markets just crashed that delicate balance, with the latest auction of Japanese debt hitting the weakest fundamentals since 1987, as in nobody wants Japanese bonds anymore. This sent bond prices tumbling to all-time records. The benchmark 10-year hit levels last seen in the 2008 crisis. JP Morgan called it a, quote, collapse. Now, this matters because in Japan, like the U.S., bonds hold up the entire financial system. Banks, of course, but also pensions for 40 million increasingly impoverished Japanese, including 96% of those over age 60. Now, what sent bonds tumbling was new data showing Japan edging into recession again, paired with inflation in Japan that's now 3.7%, double the rate in Donald Trump's America. In other words, Japan is falling into stagflation. The data knocked bond markets, but what really sent it over the edge was that worst thing Greece comment by the prime minister, because it was delivered in the context of his refusing to stimulate the economy with tax cuts, as in he's admitting that Japan has hit the wall, it can never afford tax cuts again because the debt is simply too big. This actually happened in Britain a couple years ago when freshly printed Prime Minister Liz Truss actually did propose tax cuts to stimulate a slowing economy, only to have bond markets collapse in Britain, putting major British banks and major pension funds at risk of going bust, at which point she retreated. And so Japan now joins the British in the basket case of deplorables who have borrowed their way into fiscal paralysis. So it's next brought to you by Unchained.com. Japan could buy a couple more years of stability if they can cut a trade deal with Trump. But it's only a matter of time. Japan has now crossed the Rubicon of tax cut straitjacket. The next stop is required tax hikes. That would send Japan into a doom loop, with higher debt driving higher taxes that shrink the economy and grow the relative debt. While America's a decade behind Japan on debt, now that $2 trillion deficits are looking permanent, apparently no matter which party is in charge, we are headed straight down the same path as Japan. Read the rest with charts and all the...
All right, so there you go. And we cannot go down that path. And I'm only going to talk about one thing that he said on there, and that is that we have $2 trillion debts. What did we have? Now, remember, the difference between debt and deficit. Deficit is what we spend over tax revenue every year. Debt is the accumulation of all the deficits. Our debt is, Aaron, if you give me that debt clock whenever you can, our deficit is, there it is, $37 trillion, just shy of $37 trillion. Now, this debt clock has not slowed down under Trump because they passed sort of a minibus a little bit ago, keeping the economy going, under Mike Johnson and Donald Trump, which was exactly the same spending levels as Joe Biden. The BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill, is exactly the same spending levels as Joe Biden, which are the post-COVID spending levels. Why are we spending $2 trillion over what we bring in tax revenue? That is post-COVID spending. In other words, we started spending that to deal with the pandemic, the 99.99% survivable virus. We had to spend $7 trillion on that and add at least $1 trillion worth of debt per year since COVID-19. It's really $1.5 trillion. We had to add all that to save everybody from COVID, right? We had to do all that. And by the way, just again, just real quick, and I know if you watch this podcast all the time, you know it's about to come. So we spent $7 trillion on COVID, but they can only track $800 billion to what was actually spent on the disease. So where did the $6.2 trillion extra dollars go? Nobody knows. So weren't you saved by the government spending? Absolutely not. Neither was anybody else, by the way, because it was never actually spent on COVID. $800 billion over 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve was spent on COVID out of the $7 trillion that was spent on COVID. Now, Tom, that sentence made no sense. I know, because none of it makes sense. So why is it that we went from spending $5 trillion a year to $6.8 trillion a year with COVID? Because that's exactly what happened. It's very simplistic conversations. It's obviously more complicated than this, but very simplistically, which, by the way, is in essence complete truth, is that in 2020, we were spending about $5 trillion a year, and we only brought in $4 trillion a year in tax revenue. And I apologize for the redundancy for those of you that watch the podcast all the time. But we got to get this message out to everybody. And yes, this is positive propaganda, because it's actually true. It's not gaslit. So in 2020, we would bring in, or 2019 actually, we would bring in $4 trillion worth of tax revenue, and we spend $5 trillion on our budgets in government spending, right? So we were adding $1 trillion per year to the debt, which is bad enough, because we had less than $1 trillion in debt in 2000. Now we're at this. So COVID came along. Oh, the second coming of the bubonic plague, the pandemic. Oh, you know, the 99.99% survival virus that we're all going to pretend is unsurvivable. That's what we're going to do, right? We're going to close our businesses. We're going to close our churches, stand 6 feet apart, take 10 vaccinations to be fully vaxxed, wear stupid masks, none of which I ever participated in, never closed, never will, never social distance, never masked, never vaxxed, never have, never will. Never closed my church, never social distance, never put out alcohol gel stations, nothing. Never masked when I went out in public, nothing. Never masked, period, except when they forced me to go visit people in the hospital, not for COVID, by the way. But anyway, so when COVID came around, we had to add all this additional spending. So we went from $5 trillion a year and $1 trillion a year deficits to $6.8 trillion a year in spending and $1.8 trillion deficits. And why is it that we're still spending that under Donald J. Trump? Can you explain it to me? As a conservative, explain it to me. Why? It's not inflation. Explain it to me. Why are we doing this? Oh, Tom hates Trump. I love Trump. I voted for Trump 3 times now. And I'll vote for him. If somehow we can get him to run again in 2028, I'm voting for him again. Love him. He's the greatest president of my lifetime. And he would be the greatest president of all time if he deals with this. You don't deal with this, you're not. You got to do something about this. World War III doesn't end this country. This does, right here. And what's Mike Johnson doing about it? Nothing. What's Donald Trump doing about it? Nothing. Just so you know. Peter St. Ange, by the way, is a rabid Trump supporter, and you hear what he said. Doesn't really matter who's in government. $2 trillion a year deficits. Can't survive this, folks. You can't survive it. We have accumulated basically all of this debt since 2000. 25 years, we've accumulated all this debt. You cannot continue. 44% of our current currency was printed under the Biden administration. Why are we not cutting spending back to 2019 levels? Explain that to me. Why? Because we are still funding the apparatchik, which is the United States government, which all the United States government is about forming Democratic Party NGOs fully staffed and employed by Democrats. Basically, I apologize for the redundancy of this. For those of you that watch this podcast all the time, they form an NGO to dispense money. That's what an NGO is all about. They dispense money. So let's just say that Stacey Abrams, her NGO, she gets $2 billion, which, by the way, she did for her NGO that was dispensed through John Podesta. So she gets her $2 billion and what her job was to go around house to house and tell people, your refrigerator is not environmentally friendly. That's what she would do. So that's what she does. So what she, and then you're supposed to help people replace it. So she has $2 billion to go buy dishwashers and refrigerators that are environmentally friendly, you know, because there's always an existential threat to our existence. And a refrigerator is an existential threat, and gas burning stove, existential threat to your life. So she's given $2 billion to replace these items. What she does via her NGO is she pays herself and all of her Democratic Party employees, and then they hire Democratic Party consultants and Democratic Party lawyers, and they spend $1.99 billion to dispense on $1 million. That's what they do. That's what they do. Out of the $2 billion she got, was she supposed to dispense $2 billion on new refrigerators, pay herself $500,000 a year. Well, again, why? That's what they do. That basically, they're given $2 billion and they pay themselves $1.9 billion to dispense $1 million. That's what they do. The Trump budget continues it on with some good things. Yes, there's good things in it. But this is not being addressed. Anybody notice it slow down? No. In the next 21 seconds, we will spend another $1 million. We spend $3 million a minute. Explain to me how that benefits you. You cannot be an acolyte to anybody and go, just because Trump does it, it means it's good. It doesn't mean that it's all bad. It's certainly not. It's certainly better than a Democratic Party bill, but it's still funding green energy. How does green energy work for you? It's still funding. By the way, the National Endowment for Democracy, which is CIA cutout, the Brookings Institute, which is a CIA cutout, is still fully funded. Still fully funded. So these are the institutions that are banning our speech globally, that actively work against the Trump administration globally. And they fully funded them. Why would you do that? And there's a myriad of these NGOs that are fully funded via the big, beautiful bill, because it's a big, beautiful boondoggle. The only one who's right about it is Thomas Massie. And it doesn't mean that we've tracked Thomas Massie too, and he makes some asinine votes. They all do. They all do. That's why you don't acolyte for any human being. But anyway, we're 10 years behind Japan. We're doing the exact same thing. What is the Moody credit rating? Does anybody know? Moody credit rating, which was for the first time in our history, was downgraded. Why? First of all, because they're a globalist institution trying to attack Donald Trump, just like Jerome Powell at the Fed is trying to attack Donald Trump by not lowering interest rates when every other Fed around the globe is lowering interest rates, trying to support their countries in the tariff war. But Jerome Powell hates chairman of the Fed, hates Donald Trump, so he's not lowering the interest rate. But we got downgraded because of that via the Moody credit rating. Well, that's a bond market rating. Bond market is who owns the debt. So we're not as trustworthy as we were, according to the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, which, of course, we're way more trustworthy under Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, while this is not a big, beautiful bill, has also secured $10+ trillion in investment. $10+ trillion in investment, which is a big freaking deal. All right, go to the next one for me. So Donald Trump, I have long ago informed Tim Cook of Apple that I expect their iPhones will be sold in the United States of America, will be manufactured and built in the United States, not India or anywhere else. If that is not the case, a tariff of at least 25% must be paid by Apple to the United States. Thank you for your attention to this matter. I love how he closes out. He's still the greatest president ever. You need to be able to cogently criticize, folks. Everybody has to, without being attacked for being anti-Trump. Listen, whether it's Alex Jones or Steve Bannon has never liked Elon Musk. It doesn't make him anti-Trump because he's not an Elon fan. I'm a huge Elon fan. Why does everybody think, and I don't mean to keep staying on this point. Man, is it really 9:30? Golly. I don't mean to stay on this point. Why does everyone think that Elon Musk put out a public statement saying that, well, he didn't put out a public statement as part of an interview, but he stated that he's no longer going to be really financially contributing to Republicans. Why would he do that? Why would he, Aaron, get that debt clock for me?
Yeah.
You know why?
Yep.
See that 465, that Doge clock at the bottom, which is more of a, you know, assertion than it is a reality. It's that the reality is around $170 billion that Doge has clawed back. But because Elon Musk just saw them pass a bill that adds $2 trillion to the debt. So why would you bother continuing with Doge? Why would you bother trying to elect Republicans if you're Elon Musk? Now, he was at the White House that day, but that was for the South African summit. He's still a major Trump supporter. It's not like that. But there's a reason why Aaron saw the look on his face. It was not positive. And the reason why it wasn't positive was because of the BBB, the big, beautiful bill. You cannot be a conservative and spend like a liberal. Otherwise, what attributes do you have that makes you conservative? All right, I'll jump off of that for now. We do have to get back to it. So anyway, he's going to tariff Tim Cook if he doesn't build build iPhones and Apple products inside of the United States, which, by the way, that's the way it goes. Good. Tim Cook hates Donald Trump anyway, no matter how much he comes and kisses his butt and licks his boots. He hates him. So does Zuckerberg. So we don't need to be supporting these people that just come to the White House every now and then to kiss Donald Trump's butt whenever he actually when he wins the election. Otherwise, they actually work against Donald Trump 24/7 when Donald Trump isn't president. We're fully, these people, and I know Trump knows this, the people, but around, the people around him, I don't know if they know it. But these people like Tim Cook, and they all come to Donald Trump, they have lunch at Mar-a-Lago and all this stuff, and they make, Tim Cook has invested $500 billion into the United States of America, which pales in comparison, because if you look at what Apple has invested in China, you're looking at about, I mean, it could be $1 trillion that they've invested in manufacturing in China. That's why Trump is making him pay. But the Tim Cook and Zuckerberg and anybody and everybody else you could talk about that's a globalist, leftist, you know, corporatist, which most times since there's a merging of corporatism and governance, they're actually all fascists themselves. That is the definition of fascism, is corporatism and governance merged. But they actively support the persecutions via prosecutions of Donald Trump. They would be glad. Tim Cook would absolutely say not a word. That's how you always know who your friends are. I can guarantee you this. If I was locked up unrighteously, Aaron would work for my release until the day he died.
Yeah.
He would. That's a friend. I know that he would. That no matter what, that doesn't change. Okay, that's the kind of friend that's going to, and vice versa, same thing. That, you think any of these people do? I mean, most of the people on Donald Trump's staff would walk away. It'd be a Jesus situation. You end up dying alone on a cross between two criminals.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, so that's a great move. He needs a tariff. If Apple's going to build their products overseas, then they need to pay tariffs. It's the way that it is. But to Tim Cook's credit, he also has a $500 billion investment. And as much as I hate the big, beautiful bill, there is another aspect to it. This is the thing. This is an equal opportunity offender show. And whatever's true is true. Here's some truth right here about the BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill. Townhall.com at Scott Bessent on how the Big Beautiful Bill will shrink the debt. Here's the Treasury Secretary. Play it for me.
There, this bill adds trillions to our debt. How is that acceptable to this administration?
Well, again, you're referring to the CBO scoring, I believe, which is 10-year scoring, and it's DC-style scoring. So we think that we can both grow the economy and control the debt. And what's important, Bill, is that the economy grows faster than the debt. So what I would tell your viewers to focus on is what I'm focused on, is what Secretary Yellen was focused on, is what is the total debt to GDP? Because we can grow our way out of this. That if we change the growth trajectory of the country, of the economy, then we will stabilize our finances and grow our way out of this.
On the tariffs that you...
And I like Scott Bessent, and I hope that he's correct. I do. I like Scott Bessent. He's done a great job, and I hope that he's correct. And by the way, here's something that'll set me apart from every other pastor in the United States of America, except for the orbit that I'm in, which is the Rodney Howard Brown orbit, which are legitimate, hardcore Bible thumpers. If I'm wrong, what will I do, Aaron?
Say that you're wrong.
Come out and say it. Yep. And Aaron's heard me. Aaron's been my friend for a long time, and I've had to go and apologize to him numerous times. Because he knows. If I'm wrong, I'm going to come and tell you that I was wrong. And the thing is, I hope I am. Now, he was talking about this. Let's talk about his side of this. Because there are great parts to this. And just remember, as much as I don't like deficit spending, Donald Trump has, in fact, secured around $11 to $12 trillion in investment that we did not have. Aaron, can you find all the times that Biden secured investments?
No, I mean, look. Nope.
None for it. None. Aaron can't find any. So there you go. By the way, it's a fact. You will not find one social media post of Joe Biden securing any foreign or domestic investment into the economy of the United States of America. 4 years, zero. Just like he secured as much investment as he brought home hostages. Zero.
Yeah.
Fantastic job. Now, he caused a lot of people to be taken hostage, but he actually brought nobody home. Donald Trump basically brings home a hostage a week that Joe Biden let languish in foreign prisons for 4 years. But I digress. So let's go with this. Here's my thing. I'm not going to come against this. I hope he's right. I hope Scott Bessent is absolutely correct. And by the way, he's right a lot, and Trump is right a lot. So maybe I'm wrong. We still shouldn't do the debt. We don't need to do post-COVID spending, though. Could everybody agree on that?
Yeah.
Can we all agree that when we added basically $2 trillion a year, it's not really not true. It's really like 1.3, but it's too hard to say. I'll just say when we added $1 trillion a year, it's more than that because it's really like closer to $2 trillion than it is one. But anyway, when we added $1 trillion a year to pay for COVID, when COVID was over, and again, I don't believe it ever started. I'm just saying when it was over, 4 years, 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve, which was technically over, just so everybody knows. In April of 2023 is when they finally removed the national state of emergency from COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was an amazing day. We all partied in the streets. I never noticed the freaking thing. I never noticed COVID. I just lived my life. It was actually great. It was like going to an empty amusement park every day of my life. It was great. Nobody's in the stores. I walked in there by myself and unmasked and had everybody stare at me. And I loved it, looking at them in the eye as they walked by.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But anyway, so I hope Scott Bessent is 100% right. And by the way, I'm rooting for him to be right. And what he's saying is this a CBO, Congressional Budget Office scoring, which is Washington, D.C. scoring, which is socialist scoring. Why is it that our CBO is socialist? Because he's still correct. He's still correct. And again, Donald Trump has added $10 trillion to our economy already. So CBO is not taking that into account. And it's 10-year scoring, and they assume no growth because they see the pie as stagnant. There is a set amount of pie. Like, there it is. It's a static amount of pie. Here, that's it. Donald Trump assumes, you know what? You need to get rid of debt. Donald Trump says, I'm going to expand the pie. And that's what Best is saying. What they're saying is in the static pie, that there's no room for Donald Trump to get rid of debt. He can only add debt, which, by the way, he's correct. But Donald Trump is saying that he's going to make the pie this big and eradicate the debt. Now, Aaron has his doubts. I have my doubts. But you know what? How many times has Trump come through? Basically, almost every time. And I hope this is one of those cases, because I've come out before and been like, you know what? This is absolutely a horrible mistake. And I was wrong. Now, I said Operation Warp Speed was a horrible mistake. I was not wrong. I said that shutting down the United States and shutting down flights to the United States because of COVID, COVID was wrong. I was right. So I'm not wrong all the time. But Donald Trump was right a lot. He built the skyline in New York City as a moderate, which is unheard of, and now a Republican. So he's saying this is a 10-year CBO scoring that assumes no growth. And what Donald Trump is saying is we're going to grow our way out of debt. And I'm all on board. You know, I'm on the Trump roller coaster. I'm not getting off because I don't like one thing. I'm on, and I'm rooting for this. And I hope that's exactly what happens, is we exponentially grow. And that takes us out of the debt, or we start paying the debt off. All right, let's jump off of that. Can't believe it's already, I might not get to all the slides, boys. I have an announcement to make. Might not get to all of them.
No.
I actually put in less slides tonight than normal.
Still not going to finish.
And I don't know if I'm going to get to a third of them. But anyway, so let's go. All right, so Donald Trump versus judges. Donald Trump versus 250 lawsuits. But this isn't, well, this is one of them right here. So this is the lawyer. Do you guys have a lawyer? Oh, I'm wrong, guys. This isn't, I'm on the wrong side. Going back, Bonchi video. So this is not somebody that, well, it was Donald Trump versus this judge. But she's now been indicted, and this is Judge Hannah Dugan. And so Judge Hannah Dugan was the one who secreted a illegal alien out of the courthouse and enabled him to run from ICE agents. So now the video of what she did has been released. It's a Bonchi video. This is what she actually did step by step enabling and obstructing. Number one, obstructing ICE, enabling this illegal to be escorted out of the building through a secret door. Play for me.
For the first time, we're seeing Judge Hannah Dugan outside her courtroom April 18th, wearing her black robes, appearing to confront several federal agents there to arrest Eduardo Flores Ruiz, a Milwaukee man and Mexican national charged locally with three counts of domestic battery. This video, released by Milwaukee County through an open records request, is part of the evidence in the case against Judge Dugan, who's charged with obstructing a federal investigation, concealing Flores Ruiz, allowing him to leave her courtroom by a different door after sending the agents to speak to the chief judge. Flores Ruiz, dressed in black with his attorney, is seen in several of the videos leaving by that other door, one prosecutors say was used by jurors and not open to the public. As he leaves, though, he is seen in the hallway, followed by another agent. As Flores Ruiz gets into the elevator to leave, the agent slips in as well. According to the criminal complaint against Dugan, that agent followed them down. The agent seen here following out of the building downstairs, and once backup arrived, they tried to arrest Flores Ruiz, who another video shows ran north in front of the courthouse for nearly a block before agents caught up with him and arrested him. Federal agents arrested Dugan herself a week later.
Eduardo Flores Ruiz's domestic violence case is moving through the Milwaukee County Court. He is, however, in federal custody on his immigration arrest. The FBI arrested Judge Dugan at the county courthouse 1 week later on April 25th. She pleaded not guilty in a federal court last week.
Judge Dugan, your response.
That's Dugan exiting the federal courthouse after an arraignment last week. Her legal team filed a motion to dismiss the case, calling it unconstitutional and saying that she is entitled to judicial immunity. A judge set a tentative trial date for July 21st.
Did everybody hear her plea that she's entitled to judicial immunity? That she was acting under the rules of the robe? As she, right there, she's confront, what she does is she confronts ICE agents. She tells the ICE agents to go meet with the chief justice in the building, the chief judge in the building, so that she, and she thinks at that time, you just keep, I'm not going to try to keep up with the video, but I keep it playing, Aaron. So what's now, of course, she's on her own now. And while, so she tells these ICE agents, there's one of them right there, I need you to go meet with the chief justice, the chief judge in the courthouse. Now, there's actually three ICE agents there, but she only thinks there's two. She sends them in to go meet with the chief justice. And while she does that, while those ICE agents are meeting with the Chief Justice, she directs them out the secret jury-only door, not knowing that there's a third ICE agent now following them. She didn't know that. But this was all under the auspices of her office. That's her defense. This was all part of being a judge. So what she considers to be the duties of a judge is to... call for a meeting in her chambers. That's a whole lot of women right there. Like, I mean, that is a double wide. That she needs to hang a sign on the back of her that says wide load. Beep, beep, right there. And going down the highway, wide load right there. These leftist women, man, they do not miss meals ever. Like, mix in something other than glucose sometime in your life.
Take a walk.
Yeah, take a walk, right? Do something. But anyway, not just walking around your courthouse, enabling and obstructing, enabling illegals to walk out the back door and obstructing ICE agents. So she says it's under her duties as a judge to call for a secret meeting in her chambers and then to divert ICE agents so she can hide an illegal and slip them out the back door. I mean, if this is a righteous judge that this case is heard in front of, that woman is going to federal prison. And she must... Now, they're going to have to build an extra wide jail cell for her, but she needs to go to federal prison. There is no question here. I was a cop for 25 years. There is no question about this crime. I got another cop sitting in the room. Brett, is there any question about this crime?
No.
There's
guilty.
No question. It's clearly obstructing a federal agent.
Guilty.
And then they end up with a foot chase out on the road. Look at the foot chase. That's a safe environment. They ran right in front of a car. Look at it. Everybody could have been killed. Jeez. That's a safe environment. Would everybody agree? She caused this. And she's actually saying that this was part of her duties as a judge. I think the only duties that she actually performs as a judge is eating copious amounts of Snickers bars. That's it. All right, so there's Trump versus Judge number one. Let's go to the next one. Laura Loomer tweet, exclusive. Judge Myung Chan, the Korean-born, Biden-appointed federal judge who just blocked President Trump from shutting down the Department of Education over DEI and LGBTQ agendas in public schools, you can't shut down the Department of Education because the Department of Education teaches DEI and LGBTQ. Got to keep that going. And public schools has a trans son, of course, who thinks he's a girl. The trans son is named Marshall Yon, who works for his mother's. I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, honestly. Okay. No. She's making a ruling based on transgender DEI agendas, saying that the Department of Education, for some unknown reason, I don't know how these things are connected, but somehow she connects them. It's she. But anyway, so she's making a ruling on the Department of Education funding based on LGBTQ and DEI agendas, and her own son is LGBTQ, of course, because it's child abuse, and he works for his mother's, okay, wait, I got it now. I remember how it worked. The dad is the judge.
It's the judge.
And the mother of the, so again, this is an automatic recusal. If you are working a DEI trans case and your wife wife runs a DEI company called Diversity Work. And Aaron, how much you want to bet? Brent, how much you want to bet that you and I pay for Diversity Work?
Oh, yeah.
For the existence of Diversity Work. Probably another glorious Democratic Party NGO where you have them allocated $3-4 million a year for them to do activist work for the LGBT community and pay themselves the entire balance to do so. Judge Juan failed to disclose this conflict of interest. What a shock. Created by his wife's job and his son. I love how Laura Loomer writes. And his son's mental disorder, which is totally true. Let's show some pics of his son. Here it is. And he's making rulings about LGBTQ.
Oof.
And he's not going to recuse himself. And that's your son? Automatic recusal. Go to the next one. Here he is. That's his son.
Oh.
And you're not going to recuse yourself. You're going to actually rule unambiguously. You're going to rule in a nonpartisan, neutral way in a case when that's your son on an LGBTQ case. Obviously not. Let's go to the next one. Alex Jones tweet update: A California-based federal judge has just blocked Trump from revoking the legal status of international students nationwide. This is all part of the Harvard case. Donald Trump is rebuking, basically, I don't know a better way to put this, but they're licensed to have international students. Everybody know how many international students attend Harvard? Now, keep in mind, before you come up with a number, some of you probably already know from the tweets and the social media posts that have been put out about this already, but how many, and remember now, the CBP, well, it just came out, Chinese students were confessing that they have to report back to a CCP, PLA, People's Liberation Army, CCP, Chinese Communist Party. They have to report back to a party or military member about information that they gather inside the United States as a student. So they are required by basically Chinese law to gather information in the United States and report back to their handlers, intel information. So they are required basically to do recon in the United States of America. That's absolute fact. That was put out by Senator Ashley Moody from the state of Florida, who was formerly the AG of the state of Florida. This is a law enforcement officer, former law enforcement officer. So that's a fact. They have to gather intel and report back to their CCP PLA handler. That's an absolute fact. And with that in mind, do you realize that 27% of Harvard's student population are foreigners here on visas? Do you get that, Aaron? 27%, over a quarter of their students are people here on foreign visas.
That's crazy.
How many of them are China? That's 27% that you have, again, so many tributaries to the river. Harvard is ostensibly paid for by you and me. It's a CIA cutout. That's what it is. I don't have time to get into all that. But that's all that is. If you can, go to Mike Benz and put in Mike Benz Harvard on Twitter. You'll hear some of the greatest stuff you've ever heard. But really, that's what it is. And you and I give them billions of dollars every year. And they don't even hold a quarter of their seats open for United States citizens. So just imagine that. They make bank at every single angle. No matter whether they American or foreign students, doesn't matter to them, and probably they charge the foreign students probably double tuition. They make bank. It's like out of state. That's what. So every 27% of their population, student population, is definitively out of state. They have to pay a lot more. So anyway, that Donald Trump is saying no more. So he basically revoked their license I'm trying to think of the right verbiage for it, but he revoked their ability to have foreign students enroll at Harvard. Now, of course, it goes to the court, and a leftist judge always steps up. It's just judge shop, 250 or more now lawsuits against the Trump administration, and there's always a leftist judge to step up and block one of Trump's initiatives. And the reason why Trump is doing all this is because of the anti-Semitic protests on campus, and also he knows that Harvard is an activist and an activist agency and a CIA activist agency against Trump. So, and then Harvard responded by suing Donald Trump, and now you got the judge steps up and blocks it for now. And basically, with some exceptions, the Supreme Court is overturning all of the lower court rulings. All is hyperbolic. It's not all, but it's most. But it's all delay tactics. And there's a lot of Republicans complicit in the delay tactics, as you see on Capitol Hill. But I don't have time to get into that either. So let's go to the next one. All right, Phil Holloway video. Oh, here we go. Here's Trump versus Letitia. Letitia James says she mistakenly claimed. Aaron, it's all a big mistake.
Oh.
So, I mean, again, before we show this video. So what did Letitia do wrong? Because now she is either been indicted. She's under federal investigation. She hasn't been indicted yet. For her mortgage fraud. And this mortgage fraud has been going on for decades. So, of course, there's a couple different angles here and a couple different assertions, a couple different accusations against her. Number one is that in all of this, to make it a quick conversation, the reason why she did all this is because if you do these things, you secure a lower interest rate on your mortgage financing. So what she did was she claimed that she was her primary residence was in Virginia to get a lower mortgage rate. Then she claimed that one of her buildings, how she can afford all of these buildings as a civil servant, is beyond all of us. And that's the same way how does James Comey have two multi-million dollar mansions? But anyway, I digress. So she claimed to be a Virginia resident. Then she claimed on another mortgage application, Ilhan Omar style, that her dad was in fact her husband. Then she claimed on another mortgage application that a five unit apartment complex was a four unit because the four unit gives you, you are able to get a non-commercial loan, which is a far lower interest rate. If you go five units, it's now become a commercial loan. And now she's saying that it was a mistake, but there's more than one mistake. Play for me.
As you know, we filed a lawsuit against Donald Trump and his family. We secured $454 million judgment against him, which is on appeal. The case is on appeal. I have no idea when that case will be decided. This investigation into me is nothing more than retribution. It's baseless. It has to do with the fact that on a power of attorney, I mistakenly indicated that I was a state of Virginia. But prior to that, I had indicated to the mortgage broker that, in fact, in bold cap letters, that I am not a resident of Virginia and never will be. And in the mortgage application, I indicated that I would not live in Virginia and I was not a resident. They just took the power of attorney, and they're using that as a basis for enforcement for their investigation, when in reality, the power of attorney was never used to determine my eligibility for a mortgage for my niece for a home in the state of Virginia. My niece, who has children, and because I am a bit on, I wanted her to.
So it's all a mistake. So I guess all three things are a mistake. All those things are a mistake. You mistakenly said that it was a four-unit apartment complex instead of a five-unit? Is that what you said? So that was a mistake. You mistakenly put down that your dad was your husband? And as Aaron said, Letitia, don't worry about it. Keep your chins up. And so you mistakenly did that. You mistakenly said that your dad was your husband. Mistakenly claimed four instead of five. Mistakenly claimed that Virginia was your primary residence. And by the way, the $450 million that she loves to brag about that she got from Donald Trump in the civil real estate fraud case, that is under appeal, as she said it was, but she's losing the appeal. Donald Trump's going to easily win that appeal. And by the way, that's in this New York State Supreme Court, in the or appellate court. I don't know if it's got the Supreme, but it's in the appellate, at least in the appellate system. And though even leftist judges are like, how in the world did this even come to the courtroom? How in the world was this ever even presented as a civil fraud case with no victim, where you have the people who are allegedly the victim of the fraud, Deutsche Bank, coming in and saying, we were not the victim of fraud. We were not defrauded of any money whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we love doing business with them. They paid their debt. They paid their loan back with interest on time and early. He paid a penalty to pay it back early. And that's the $454 million for the misevaluation of Mar-a-Lago, which is an asinine assertion on her part, and that's the judges are looking at this thing, because Letitia James says that Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million. Mar-a-Lago is worth $500 million. And Donald Trump didn't even claim that much. But that was the precipice behind the civil real estate fraud case, that there she's going to lose an appeal, even with a liberal appellate court, because they cannot swallow the illegality of that case, as well as the other cases brought by her, which is the 34 felony convictions for a campaign finance violation. somehow was stretched into 34 violations, which, by the way, was not a campaign finance violation in any way, shape, or form. But again, don't have time to get into that. All right, let's go to the next one. So this is an interesting one. Andrew Ferguson today, which was yesterday, the FTC and DOJ, again, listen, Pam Bondi has not, in my opinion, done great. But you know what? You can pull, you can, Aaron, what do you call it when you, is it pulling back on a rudder when you're getting that plane to go up or when you make the plane gain elevation, gain altitude?
On your ailerons.
What is it?
Or your ailerons or rudder.
Yeah, there you go. So you can do it. Pull back and you know what? She can do it. Great. I hope they do. I'm rooting for her. DOJ filed a statement of interest in a multi-state antitrust case led by who I thought should have been the attorney general, if not Matt Gaetz, was Ken Paxton, against BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. The lawsuit alleges, bottom tweet, that these firms engaged in a conspiracy to drive down coal production as part of the net zero initiative to further environmental, social, and environmental social governance, ESG goals, that the apparent result, higher prices, less coal, happy Democrats, happy bourgeois leftist elitist Democrats, until middle class and lower class Democrats have to end up paying for green energy, which is unaffordable, which is the goal. What they want to do is make your own energy independence non-existent. So then you are forced into 15-minute cities, all under environmental social governance. Okay, you got to look at those words. Environmental, using the environment to socially govern you. That's what it is. They always tell you who they are. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And then they name the biggest street in New York, Broadway. They always reveal themselves. Environmental, using the environment to socially govern you. If they get rid of or mitigate coal, then everybody has to then convalesce together in our social credit system, CBDC credit system, then all controlled by BlackRock, merged with government, which is, in fact, fascism. Let's go to the next one. All right, so the Supreme Court grants Trump a request to fire independent agency members. Those two ladies are now fired. Kathy Harris and Gwen Wilcox, who ran government, really what I call government NGOs. They're inside the government, but they're just, again, agencies created to employ and enrich Democrats and enrich Democrat subsidiary law firms, all sorts of Democrat subsidiary agencies, hiring Democratic consulting firms, Democratic law firms, funding Democratic Party politicians, and enriching themselves while they do these things. And that's all that Kathy Harris and Gwen Wilcox were about. President Trump's actions tee up a significant question over whether provisions intended to protect independent agencies from political interference are constitutional. So imagine this. We're all hyped up about how in the world Nancy Pelosi, $147,000 a year salary, is now worth $200 million, right? Well, they wrote themselves, just like they gold-plated their own insurance, they lumped everybody else into Obamacare with their $300 million website that crashed in 2 minutes. Imagine paying $300 million or whatever it was. I don't know if it was $300 million, but it was millions and millions on a website. But anyway, so they lumped everybody into Obamacare, and then Congress, including Republicans, gold-plated their own insurance and made themselves immune from Obamacare. Obamacare did not apply to them. Well, they did the exact same thing with insider trading. If you are on the board of Chevrolet and you use that to insider trade, you're going where Bernie Madoff died. You're going in federal prison. But congressmen and women who are the regulators of Chevrolet, therefore they know everything that Chevrolet, the automobile industry, is doing, they themselves have given themselves an exemption. That's what they're talking about right there. Agencies from provisions intended to protect independent agencies from political interference. There is no such thing as insulating yourself as a political institution from politics. Therefore, you and I, you leave that up, Aaron. Therefore, you and I can be interfered with anytime, anywhere from politicians, but politicians are insulated from other politicians. And they did the exact same thing. If you are in charge of regulating energy, you know, oil, gas, LNG, whatever it is, and you use that knowledge to insider trade, politicians have made themselves, have insulated themselves, have made themselves immune to prosecution for insider trading, but not you and me. It's not considered insider trading if Nancy Pelosi knows that the Biden administration has budgeted a certain amount of money for electric vehicles, so she divests in LNG and then invests in electric cars. That's not illegal because she got the inside information 3 months in advance. That's not illegal for her. But if you and I, as part of the electric car company, did it, we go to federal prison. But they've written themselves an exemption from being charged with insider trading, even though they regulate the very industries that they're investing in using insider trading. Obamacare website, Aaron sent this to me. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I figured you'd love that.
Oh, my God.
You got to love it.
You got to love it. Short show tonight, boys. Short show. The range of Obamacare website, just a point of interest. The range of reliable estimates for what it cost for the Obamacare website was $834 million to $2.1 billion for a website. That crashed in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
That's Democratic Party for you right there. Democratic Party, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the next one for me. All right, Krista Monroe tweet. This is great. This part is, I mean, unbelievable. If at least 5 signatures are required to use the auto pen, and none of those signature records exist... It's unbelievable. It's like the $93 billion given in loans to the Department of Energy. We have no idea who got the loans. $73 billion given to John Podesta. And again, this was all during the 73 days between when Trump got elected and when Trump took office. This was all given in record amounts, record amounts. The Department of Energy, they'd only given away a few billion dollars ever in loans. And then in 73 days, it went to 90. They gave away $93 billion. And they previously given away $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 billion in all their years of existence. But in those 73 days, they gave away $93 billion. We're being looted every day. And it's not just by Democrats. It's also by the Mike Johnsons of the world. And we're going to need to recognize that. And I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. So if at least 5 signatures are required to use the auto pen and none of those signature records exist, not one of those auto pen signatures is valid because we have no idea who ran the auto pen machine. That's absolutely freaking correct. Where the blank are the indictments? That's exactly right. But by the way, I think they will. I think that these people are, they're at least going to be indicted. I don't know about actually convicted, but I believe they will be indicted or for investigated to the place where an argument can be made in federal court and in the Supreme Court that none of the EO's executive orders and none of the pardons signed by the auto pen are actually valid. I have to show you this video because it's just really, really interesting. Where am I at? Oh, here we are. All right, it's the first video, Jesse Kelly speaking here. It's just a little montage about a woman who worked in the Biden administration, Democratic Party acolyte named Anita Dunn. If you're wondering why things have gone the way they've gone, play for me.
Anita Dunn. Maybe that name sounds familiar to you. Hopefully it does. Glenn Beck deserves all the credit in the world because it was 15, 16 years ago. Glenn Beck discovered this lady by the name of Anita Dunn who was working for Barack Obama. But Anita Dunn has some interesting views.
And then the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other, but the two people that I turn to most. In 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities, they had the army, they had the air force, they had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this against all of the odds against you? And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
She was, at least in part, running the United States of America for 4 years. Now let me ask you again, do those executive orders make more sense now? Does the mass importation of rapists and murderers and drug dealers like we've never seen before in the country makes more sense now, doesn't it? What kind of a person, what kind of a president would hand out thousands of pardons to just some of the most vile murderers? Why, who in the world would want these people back on the streets? Makes more sense now, doesn't it? Makes a lot of sense. And remember when Joe Biden couldn't function anymore, and now it was public, now everybody knew it, there was a central figure trying to keep him in the race.
So what do you say to members of the House of Representatives, Democrats, who are on the phone with reporters saying that the president needs to step down?
We're basically saying the president is the only person out there who's ever beaten Donald Trump, and he will do it again. You know, and we're all going to work together on this.
Oh, that's a little bit more revealing now, isn't it? I have no doubt Anita Dunn wanted him to stay right where he was so she could continue to put the United States of America to the torch. How in the world did we end up with a Supreme Court justice like Ketanji Brown Jackson, a radical, insane, America-hating communist nutjob who now sits on the highest court in the land? I think you know how she got there.
All right, so there you go. Just, I wanted to play her because the number one, she could be an auto pen operator. And she was one of the key Biden staff advisors and members of his administration. So I just wanted, I want people to know who the people are that are actually running this country. Because a lot of people don't know. And a lot of people who are the major influencers in the political atmosphere that is the United States of America. One of which, of course, is the one behind all, basically all of the 250 lawsuits against Donald Trump. Whether it's the ACLU, yes, it's part of it, but it's really Norm Eisen. Mark Elias, people like that, Lincoln Project, Mark Elias, people like that. Those are the ones who are actually behind the scenes. People like Anita Dunn, who's nobody's ever heard of. These are the people that are actually running the country. When Trump's not president, when Trump's president, Trump is running the country. When Biden's president, it's Ron Klain, it's Anita Dunn, it's Susan Rice, it's John Kirby, it's Jake Sullivan, Antony Blinken. Those are the people that are actually running the country. When Biden is the president, but Donald Trump's running it now. But you just need to know who these people are. If you notice, she's a Maoist. She's a Maoist. She's an actual communist. And I know that it makes no sense. And I don't know how to verbalize it. How it is that you have communists espousing the virtue of America and claiming to be defenders of democracy. Because all they're doing is using democracy as a vehicle. Because they're allowed to talk about communism because of the First Amendment. They use democracy as a vehicle to usher in communism. All right, let's go to the next one. Tom, let's go to the Afrikaners. Because you're, again, what does it mean to be a Democrat in 2025? You're going to defend white genocide. You're going to defend it. That's what you have to do as a Democrat in 2025. You have to be in favor of lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts of 15-year-olds. You have to do that. You have to be in favor of trans drag shows for kids. You have to be in favor of that. You have to do that. You have to be, of course, pro pre-born genocide. You have to be, you have to love that 41.2 million kids are butchered in the womb every single year. You have to love that. You have to claim that you're just now discovering that Joe Biden was mentally impaired. You have to now claim that you just discovered that. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2021. You have to be in favor of keeping Kilmar Abrego Garcia, an MS-13 member, in the United States. And even when he's deported, you got to go back. You got to go down to San Salvador, El Salvador, and bring him back. You have to be in favor of course, wide open borders. You have to be in favor of continuing to spend $10 million a year in circumcisions for people in Mozambique. You have to be in favor of that. You have to be in favor of spending $60 million a month to rent empty buildings in D.C. You have to be in favor of that. That's what it means. You will follow that ideology if you're going to be a Democrat in 2025. And to be a Democrat in 2025, you have to be against bringing 73 white people in the United States of America. 73 Mennonites, Afrikaners. And then as a Democrat, you have to lie about the Afrikaners and say that they were the authors of apartheid. They were not the authors of apartheid. The English were, and the English inside of South Africa hate the Afrikaners who are Dutch farmer Mennonites. They're one of 100 tribes, both of them. They're considered the two white tribes inside of South Africa. But instead of actually knowing that, you just have to be like Caitlin Collins and just espouse lies and have no understanding about what you're talking about. Slava, Ukraine, Ukraine good, Russia bad. You have no understanding of the geographical dilemmas in the area. You have no understanding of going to South Africa. There's 100 tribes there, all of which hate each other. There's black on black crime, black on white crime. There is a genocide of the Afrikaners. When they've eradicated 33% of the farm industry, Afrikaner farm industry, which by the way feeds the entire country, and if they continue to kill off the Afrikaners, just like they've learned in other African countries, you go in there and you kill off, or not country, I just can't remember the name of it, but when you kill off all the white farmers, they all started to starve to death and begged them to come back and actually paid them. They actually paid them reparations to come back. You want to talk about reparations? Actually, black people paying white people reparations to come back and reopen their farms after all of the black people ran out and stole their property, and then they started to starve to death. So, and again, it's got nothing to do with black or white. This just happens to be how it played in that scenario. And same thing's going on in South Africa. You get rid of the Afrikaners, they're all going to starve to death because they have no farming infrastructure. They have no farming expertise. These white farmers actually produced 96% of the food in the country, and you're going to get rid of them all? And they've eliminated 33% of them already, either through running them out of the country, confiscating their land, or outright murdering them. And they rape their children, rape their wives while they're doing it. It's all facts. It's all facts. This is Thomas Sowell video. So let's get into this, because now Trump is being accused of racism because he, quote unquote, won't allow people of color in the country, but he will actively pursue asylum seekers out of South Africa who happen to be white. And there's 73 total people, 73 total. After Biden allowed in 15,000 a day for 4 years until the last year of his administration. 15,000, doesn't matter. And by the way, there's lots of white people coming through the southern border from Eastern European countries. Plenty of them, not to mention plenty of Asians and plenty of Eastern Europeans coming through the southern border. It's 169 different countries represented coming through the southern border every year in the United States of America. 15,000 a day for most of the Biden administration. 20 to 30 million that he let in. And now just remember, since Donald Trump's been in office, easily 500,000-600,000 people have been allowed to legally migrate into this country. Legally. Aaron, give me a legally.
Legally.
Migrate into this country. Who knows what race they are? So making the assertion that Donald Trump is racist because he's actually allowing legitimate asylum seekers who are being butchered in their own country, he's actually allowing them to legally migrate into the country, and they claim that it's race, when he's already let in, who knows what race they are, 500,000 to 600,000 legal migrants into the country. Thomas Sowell video, 140 race laws in South Africa. Play for me.
140 race-based laws in South Africa, all anti-white. And 8 days ago, Cyril Ramaphosa, our president, signed into law expropriation without compensation.
So this is, in essence, they're taking farms.
Well, they can.
Yeah.
So they haven't implemented it yet. It's been signed into law.
Yeah.
And it's not just farmland. It's property. They can take the watch off my arm, and they barely need to justify it. I mean, I liken it to having a loaded gun in the bedroom with kids running around. At some point, somebody's going to pull the trigger, and that's what this law is. And there's so many other laws in South Africa that are anti-white, race-based, and make it almost impossible for businesses to thrive. Do you know that most African countries have Starlink? We don't, because we have a law that every business in South Africa has to have 30% black ownership. And Elon Musk said, I'm not handing over 30% because I have to. It's, we don't insane. Have Starlink.
It's insane.
South Africa needs a big wake-up call, and it isn't going to come in turn.
So you had Ramaphosa, Cyril Ramaphosa, Aaron, side by side, that everybody knows that's who Trump just met with in the Oval Office a couple days ago, coming to the White House and claims that there really are no race-based laws and that farmland is not being confiscated. It's outright confiscated without paying for it. Claimed that wasn't happening. Claimed, you know, basically that everything's fine, but there's 140 race-based laws in South Africa, all of which are anti-white. But there's absolutely, of course, no white genocide. Wouldn't that just basically make you assume that there is a black versus white crime problem in South Africa when you have 140 race-based laws, all favoring blacks over whites, all not only favoring blacks over whites, but many of them actual anti-white laws? And then he said that he wasn't confiscating any farmland. That was not actually happening. No, there was no confiscating without compensation. That's what he said, right? Remember, everybody, that's what he said. So here's, get this now. Here's the video of it. So Daniel video. Here's Ramaphosa saying the exact opposite. Play for me.
Whoever gave him that information was completely wrong. There are no killings of farmers or white farmers in South Africa.
Things like a genocide. There's no genocide in South Africa. Things like mass expropriation without compensation. It's not a single farm that's been expropriated without compensation in South Africa.
The policy they have of confiscating land without compensation.
The question of land, the land of our forefathers and our foremothers, must return to our people without any fail and without any payment of compensation. And it must happen now.
Again, I say, I guess these people are not, I mean, I'm not a tech savvy guy, but these people must be absolutely tech retarded. Because you know that you, I'm so glad we can use the word retarded. Not that I ever stop, but other people, you know, it offend other people. But I guess these people don't realize that everything you say has been recorded on one of these at minimum. Because Ramaphosa comes into our country, says, no, there's no confiscation without compensation. That's not happening. He's on video saying we are going to confiscate and return to our black fathers and mothers the white farmland without compensation. He just said we're going to go and confiscate the Afrikaner farmland, confiscate it without compensation, and return it to black people. That's what he said. So he also said, which now we know that his confiscation without compensation claim is confiscation, that they weren't confiscating without compensation, that claim was absolutely wrong and a bold-faced lie. But he also said there was no white genocide. So let's go to the people in the country. So we've already established that he lied when he said that they weren't confiscating farmland without compensation. That was a bold-faced lie. So now let's look at lie number two that he told in the White House, that there was no white genocide, and that lie that he told has been backed up for the last 36 hours by the Caitlin Collins and the Jake Tappers of the world, saying that, who was it that verified these videos? Remember Alcindor, the reporter, last name's Alcindor, in the office was asking Caitlin Collins, just forgot the name of the White House press secretary. Caroline Levitt was asking Caroline Levitt, well, who verified these videos? Remember, you have Ramaphosa's party leader chanting, kill the farmer, kill the boar, shoot the white farmer, shoot the boar. Remember they're dancing up there like this? That's the head of his own party. That's the leader of Ramaphosa's party. That's like he's basically the DNC chair for Ramaphosa. So Ramaphosa says that they aren't confiscating white farmers' lands without compensation. That's a bold-faced lie. So he also said there's no genocide. So let's go to the people inside of South Africa. This was a Herman, and it's Labuschagne Labuschagne video. And now from the crime scene cleanup crews in South Africa. Play for me.
When I dug deeper, I discovered the Blood Sisters, an organization that works with government contracts to clean up crime scenes across South Africa. And I figured surely, if anyone, they would know what the reality of these numbers really looked like.
My name is Eileen De Jager. I'm one of the Blood Sisters, known in South Africa. And we are a nationwide leader in crime scene cleanup.
Have you seen an increase in these kind of attacks in recent years?
Absolutely. In 18 years ago when we started this business, there was attacks. According to our knowledge and what we experienced, they started weekly. We would get one call a week to come and assist at either farm attack or farm murder. Now it's daily. It's definitely daily. It's increased unbelievably.
Between 2012 and 2016, the attacks on smallholding farms or properties deemed as a farm or an area non-residential has increased by an average of 72.9%. The figures that I've just given you is, according to our statistics, government statistics will differ.
I don't suppose you can tell us much about why that is.
I don't work closely with them because we don't do every scene. But their figures are funnily enough lower than ours. I don't have a particular reason for that. I don't wish to divulge on that.
This was the first time on camera a qualified government associate had confirmed my worst fears. Not only are the farm murders real, the genuine numbers are much higher than we imagined. But I wanted to know more. In a country that already has extensive murder rates, why are these so much worse?
Farm murders are one of the most gruesome kind of crime scenes that we have to deal with, especially, in South Africa. Farm murders are intentional. It's not robberies. It's intention. The intention of the attackers is, according to us and what we've seen, is to kill. It's been classified, especially on the crime stats as well, that it's attacks or robberies, burglaries. But because there is no statistic for farm murders currently in South Africa, the brutality of the farm murders in South Africa is indescribable. We found pieces of nails being pulled out. We found hands being removed from bodies. We found people raped, murdered, brutally murdered, babies, children. The farmers trying to protect their families, and there's just no stopping. The farm murders are brutal. Another one that stays with me is in Johannesburg, just outside Johannesburg. We had a farm murder where five people came in. It was arranged by their domestic worker, and they drowned the 12-year-old boy in boiling hot water. So we had to remove the skin from the bath as it was peeling off him in the hot water. That was a terrible scene. If you look at the worst movies ever made, it's not really a patch against what is really going on there. It's unbelievable.
Having heard from the far-right corners of the internet that these murders were racially based, I was intent on finding out what motives the Blood Sisters attributed to these kinds of attacks.
90% of the increase we found is due to unemployment, racial discrimination, and there's no hope. If you don't start your own business in South Africa, where are you going to work? There's no work.
Racial discrimination against who, if you don't mind me asking?
I have to be careful.
Careful?
Yeah.
Because
I have to be a little bit careful.
We work very closely with government.
Yeah.
And, I spoke to Simon about it outside. Racial discrimination against people.
No, it's okay.
We have to be so careful.
Yeah, I have to think.
We love everybody to hear what we have to say. We want to say so much more, but we have to exercise so much restraint.
Anonymously,
stay behind and work.
I will tell you a lot of stuff.
I knew I had to investigate further. I had to meet the families caught up in these attacks.
Be a Democrat in 2025, you have to deny everything that this cleanup crew, crime scene cleanup crew, says. Now, what did they say? It went from they used to do one. Now, remember now, I'll say what they can't say. They were cleaning up one white farmer crime scene per week where they would go in and there was a white farmer genocide. Now, we aren't talking about even military style genocides where you go in and you find a bunch of double taps to the back of the head. That's not what you're finding. You're finding, I'll go into more detail than she did, rapes of two-year-olds. That's fact. Raped in front of their, they raped the two-year-old in front of the dad, raped the wife in front of the dad, and then execute everybody. Burnings, obviously, you saw that, what they call a necktie there, where they put a tire around their head, the victim's head. It's all doused with petroleum, lighted on fire, and the person's tied in and can't escape. That's what they're finding, rapes and murders of exclusively white farmers in this particular area. Doesn't mean there's lots of black-on-black crime there, too. But there's no white-on-black crime. That sounds eerily familiar, doesn't it? Because there's a major problem in the black population in America. Major problem. 56% of all violent crime is committed by 13% of the population. It has nothing, I am not prejudiced against black people. I'm not. But there's obviously a problem in the community. I address it this way too. Basically, you know, in white fatherless homes are quickly catching up with black levels of fatherless homes. So it's got nothing to do with melanin content of skin. If you think that, you're just a racist. It has to do with societal issues. That's just the way that it is. But here you have a black-on-white genocide. That is an absolute fact. This, the crime scene crews who work for the government are saying so. They are titled, as a nickname, the Blood Sisters. So they went from cleaning up one of these Afrikaner crime scenes once a week to now daily, and there's no genocide going on. To be a Democrat in 2025, you have to claim that which is in fact true is not. And you have to claim what is in fact not true is true. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Donald Trump, Ramaphosa came in and said this didn't happen. Donald Trump says it is happening, and here's the videos, and here's the articles, and here's the websites that it is in fact happening, and here's the pictures. And the mainstream media comes up behind Ramaphosa. Now, if Donald Trump was pro-Ramaphosa, the mainstream media would be anti-Ramaphosa. If Donald Trump was saying that the genocide wasn't occurring, the mainstream media would say that it is, because they are disingenuous, dishonest, principleless men and women. Mainstream media. Absolutely. They're devoid of all human dignity, devoid of all integrity, and are simply Democratic Party whores. That's the media. As well as the politicians themselves. These crime scenes, these Afrikaner crime scenes, these white victim crime scenes have increased 72.9%. That's a little bit, isn't it? They've already eradicated 33% of the population of Afrikaners. And again, these are Dutch farmers. They didn't usher in apartheid. Which you don't have these idiots go on mainstream media talking head shows and espouse these Afrikaners. They're the ones who instituted apartheid. It had nothing to do with apartheid. You know the two tribes that hate each other the most are the white versus the white. The English versus the Afrikaner, because the English are from Great Britain and the Afrikaners are from the Netherlands. And the cleanup crew, the Blood Sisters, said their numbers are considerably higher than what the government puts out. But to be a Democrat, you will just inherently believe the government, even though it is absolutely emphatically proven the government's lying. But again, that's just what Democrats do. If it's their government, because they're devoid of all human dignity, they're devoid of all integrity. If it's their government, if it's their politician holding office, they'll back him no matter what he does. All right, 10:30. Bam, we're late. Rumble Rants tonight. Producer Aaron, $20. B. Wethy. You know that person? You know B. Wethy?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Brent's familiar with that guy. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Listen, join us at Foundation Church this Sunday starting at 10 o'clock Eastern time. No matter where you're watching, join us. Listen, Trump is great. I love Trump, but he's not Jesus. You got to have a savior, and you got to have a church that's just like this podcast. Bible thumping, promises of God, hellfire and brimstone, just like you embrace the entirety of the Constitution, you embrace the entirety of the Bible. Any aspect of the Bible that you don't embrace, you're subtracting from it or you're adding to it, which, of course, Revelation 22, 18, and 19, God does not like. So join us. Let's break our record this Sunday. Come watch us live no matter where you're living. Don't go to some COVID-caving church. You're better off joining us online than going to those lukewarm churches. Aaron, you'll see Aaron leading worship right around 10:15. I'll take the stage at about 11. Just come, join us, see what you think. If I don't see you then, I'll see you on Monday night at 9 o'clock. Love you all. Stick around for the postgame. Postgame is awesome. Love you all. See you either Monday or either Sunday morning or Monday night. Love you all. God bless you.